Should I invite any question? Do you have any question? Or should we leave it for the end? Okay, just a few questions before I go into the next part. Yeah, and then I'll take you.
Maharaj, you were telling one story when during Rupa's time, one person came and he gave her everything. He already in his house and he himself joined. So Prabhupada was estimating that he is not serious because he gave everything to his parents and then he came and joined. Actually, in our Brahmacharya ashram also, we have that criteria only. We work after finishing our education, we work for some time. And then whatever money we earn, we directly give it to parents. Because we work for that only, to give money to parents. And like when I was joining, I asked my senior devotees that what should I do? I'll work 2-3 months more and I'll give that money to ISKCON. But they said that more than money, your time is
important. Yeah, right. There's a little difference, you see. Like you're a young man, your whole time and energy and your whole life is there and you're offering it to Krishna. You can render so much service. But that person was just an old man. You know, he was just coming here to become a burden to the society. He wouldn't have gone out and traveled around the world and preached. Right? He wouldn't have been gone out to distribute books. That's the difference. He's an old man. At the fag end of his life, right, he comes to society to, you know. Anyway, not only him, we find people like that coming. Especially when old people come, we should make it a point. If they have money, they should bring at least 50% to Krishna. Otherwise, they are coming because nobody is taking care of them. The family is considering that they are a burden. Now dump the burden to ISKCON. Now that shouldn't be the case. That was the point I was making. Yes, Gita Nagari.
Yeah. Krishna says, Prabhupada says in this purport that there's a certain taste that one gets from mundane rasa, from one's family life or from one's love relationships in this world. And then Prabhupada is making the point that these love relationships, they don't deliver the same taste as a love relationship with Krishna. But my objection to this is that the Krishna is invisible, we can't see him. And, you know, we can't touch him, we can't taste him, we can't exchange, I can, but I'm in a very esoteric way, but I can't sit down and talk to him, I can't see him face to face.
Yeah. So okay, I got your point.
Yeah, so mundane rasas deliver more kick.
Yeah. See, that is the difference between sense gratification and spiritual reciprocation. Right? That's why we have to understand these two differences. Sense gratification, like, okay, I can touch, I can taste, and therefore I have a loving relationship. I can talk, right? But they all are centered around our sense perception. But beyond sense perception is our consciousness. Right? Our consciousness now in the conditioned state of a living entity, the consciousness is flowing through the body, through the senses, right? And therefore the sense perceptions become so easy. Sense perceptions become so important. Because that is all that we know. But beyond the world of our sense perception, there is another reality. That's the spiritual reality. And this information by Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada is making us aware of that reality and what is going to be available there. Right? So that is the difference. Now, you are saying that, yes, I can talk to somebody, I can touch that person, I can feel that person and so forth. Right? Yes, you can also have that same relationship with Krishna. But you have to follow the process. Right? So that, and it will be a reality. This will be a higher reality. That reality is so real then you will realize that this so-called reality is only an illusion, like a dream. It's not real, it's a dream. But that's the absolute reality. And that is what Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, will reveal to us. Krishna is real. Only we lost the ability to perceive him. It's not his defect, it's our defect. Just like a blind man may not be able to see the sun, but that doesn't affect the sun. It is the blind man's misfortune that he cannot see the sun. But there is a cure for his blindness. And Nectar of Devotion is giving us that cure. But when his eyes become, now he may not be able to see the sun because he is blind. But when his blindness is cured, then he will be able to see the sun. And then along with that will come all kinds of enjoyment. Yes. Yes, yes. You see, they were renounced in a real sense. And this renunciation, again, is through getting the higher taste. Renunciation can be of two kinds. One is an artificial renunciation. The artificial renunciation is forcing to renounce. Right? This artificial renunciation has been described like you're hungry. But you are not eating, right? You are fasting. But you are hungry and you are meditating on the food stuff all the time. What's the point in that? That fasting. Just go and eat some food if you are that obsessed with that, obsessed with your hunger. But there is another state where by getting the higher taste, you lose the taste for the garbage. Right? Garbage food, junk food. Right? So this is the... Now Rupa Goswami and the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were renounced with their higher taste. Their renunciation was not artificial renunciation. They kind of went to Vrindavan, they were living in that kind of situation, where they were in constant association with Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Like apparently they were Takta Turnam Ashesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sada Tuchaba Bhutva Dina Ganesha Ko Korunaya Kopina Kanthashito. This is also one verse from the Shad Goswami Ashtakam by Srinivas Acharya. They were actually extremely wealthy people. These Goswamis of Vrindavan. They were like kings and monarchs. Right? But they have rejected that. And accepted a life where the only possession was a kopin and a blanket. Not only a blanket, a worn out blanket. Kanthashita. Why did they do that? They accepted that life in order to bestow their mercy upon the condition, miserable condition soul. Dina Ganesha ko karunaya, ko bina kanthashita. But what they were doing all the time, Radha Krishna Padara Vinda Bhajananandena Mattaliko. But all the time they were just engaged in the loving exchange with Radha. So this is how we can see that how this love is real. Because of this love, and it has such a mellow, such a rasa, that everything else becomes completely insignificant compared to that. That was the life that they were leading that was in Vrindavan. Yes?
Maharaj, is it possible you can speak something more on both Yag and Chandra?
Okay.
Related to
spiritual life. Yeah. So bhog tyag is that. Bhog tyag is something like, actually that is, I skipped that point because I was, like Prabhupada mentioned, the bhog tyag and chapal sukha. Very good point. Bhog tyag is something like, you see, you eat a lot of food and then end up with a diarrhea and then you don't want to eat something for 3 more days, right? But then on the 4th day, when your diarrhea is over, and then you go back to that same eating. So that is bhog tyag. And bhog tyag is for chapal sukha. Like chapal sukha means flickering enjoyment. Like you are relishing the food, but how long does that relish last? This mundane relishing of food leads to a diarrhea. Now when you have been enjoying when you were eating, but you ate so much that you ended up with diarrhea. Now when you got diarrhea, are you enjoying or you are suffering? So that so-called enjoyment led into suffering. And due to that suffering, there is a momentary rejection of that indulgence or momentary diversification from that enjoyment. But then once that situation is rectified, then one goes back to that situation again. Because, you see, the reason is the soul always wants enjoyment. But if he doesn't have any other source of enjoyment, then he'll revert back to that enjoyment time and time again. Although for the time being, he may cease from that activity. Whereas by getting the taste, higher taste, when you naturally give up the lower taste, that is the real renunciation. Okay, yes?
Maharaj, you were saying that once we have performed devotional service, then we get human body. Over the years I heard different things, I heard that, you know. So I was wondering, how much service
well, just continue to serve sincere with all sincerity. That is what really counts. Like, what really matters is anna bhilashita sunnam. No other desire but to please Krishna. With that mood, with that attitude, serve Krishna. Then what will happen? Krishna will be pleased. And Krishna not only will be pleased, Krishna will be indebted. Krishna will think that this spirit soul, this living entity, this devotee of mine has done so much for me. Now how am I going to repay? So Krishna actually becomes indebted to his devotee when he renders service without any personal motivation. Now personal motivation is something like, you see, you render service to Krishna, but at the back of your mind, you have some other agenda. Like, you are rendering service to get a position. You are rendering service to get some other benefit. Now Krishna is the super soul, he knows everything. You may very expertly hide your intentions, but you can't hide it from Krishna. Right? So what Krishna wants to see, that we are rendering service without any other motivation. That is called anna abhilashita shunnam. Free from any other desires besides serving Krishna and pleasing Krishna. Right? So when we render service with that attitude, no matter how little, how insignificant that service may be, Krishna will reciprocate. And that reciprocation will be, at least that we'll get an opportunity to serve Him even more. Right? And that is why Krishna will reward us with a human body. What to speak of giving us a spiritual body? Krishna may say, okay, come, stay with me. Yes, Chandrasekhar.
In the same life, how much minimum service does a jiva have to perform to be guaranteed a human body?
Anna bilashita sunna. Like no other desire. That's the minimum expectation.
And how do we understand the statements where Prabhupada, for example, says...
Ask yourself whether you have any other desire.
No, I have tons, but Prabhupada says if he takes one morsel of prasad, guaranteed human life. There's
statements
like that, for example. How do we
explain?
How do we understand that? They definitely don't have
Anya Vilashita.
They
have
one more
slope. So distribute prasad. Create the good fortune for others. Prabhupada said it. So deliver everybody. Like Vasudev Datta. He begged Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, give me all those sins and let everybody else get delivered. Yes?
Can you explain a little bit about spiritual rasa and material, like mundane rasa?
Young boy falls in love with a young girl. What is that? That is mundane rasa. Right? In their association, they derive some pleasure. They derive some taste. That is rasa. But spiritual rasa is when one falls in love with Krishna. The same love that a young boy feels towards, or young girl feels towards a young boy, when one feels the same kind of attraction for Krishna, that is spiritual rasa. Yes?
We see this world is like Dukkhala and Ashashvatam, full of troubles and miseries. And we come in contact with Krishna and sometimes we just... Krishna save us from these miseries, how we can just do for Krishna, for example, this rooted, not only do my service for Krishna, just for this relief from misery.
That is the neophyte stage, like serving Krishna in order to become free from misery, which means liberation, right? Desire for liberation. But pure devotional service is even free from the desire of liberation. Yes.
We have said, Maharaj, that this Navadvip was an opulent city once upon a time. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, this become eternal dham, or from very long ago it was an eternal dham?
It's all eternal means always. Navadvip is always eternal. Eternal dham. Eternal means no beginning, no end. Right? So Navadvipa has always been like that. But when Mahaprabhu comes, the spiritual Navadvipa becomes manifest. And when Mahaprabhu goes, the spiritual Navadvipa becomes covered. Right? Only with our pure eyes, pure perception, pure vision, we can see that spiritual aspect. Spiritual dharma. Adyapiho nitya lila kare gaura rai kono kono bhagyabane dekhi pare pai. Still today Mahaprabhu's eternal pastimes are going on here. Only some fortunate souls can see that. Now who are those fortunate souls who have developed their spiritual vision? But with material vision we'll see rikshawalas, hulur ghat, shops on the road, dirt and so forth. But with spiritual vision, we'll penetrate through that and see Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime.
What the rickshawalas and other persons roaming here and there in Navadvipa?
Some fortunate souls that they're getting a chance to be in Navadvipa. But you can see that they're not participating in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, most of them.
I heard that even they are 400 Vishnu, something like that.
I don't know about that. In Navadvipa, they are not in four hands. In Jagannath Puri, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Jagannath Puri, he sees the residents of Jagannath Puri with four arms. But in Navadvip, there are two arms. Yes?
Maharaj, if bhakti is pure, so normally we see sometimes so many devotees are always morose, flickering happiness, and bhakti are changing from one ashram to another, from one temple to another. So how come if bhakti is pure, they're not getting this purity?
Bhakti is pure, but the question is how you're performing it. Whether your performance of the bhakti is pure or not. As long as there is Anna Bhilash, other desires, other agendas, it's not pure.
So the nectar of devotion is speaking about pure devotion service.
Yes. Yes. And nectar of devotion is also clarifying what is pure devotional service for our benefit. Nectar of devotion also will describe Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Nectar of devotion is giving us the information. Giving us the information. But execution is up to us. The devotion becomes pure through execution. The question is whether you are executing pure devotional service or mixed devotional service. Yes? Okay.
Might as well explain that Amrit means that which doesn't end, that which doesn't die. And bhakti is the taste or the rasa doesn't end, continues. And so I want to find out that a soul that's entrapped in a material body that attends its own problems, like arthas, and you have amazing kirtans. Then you develop a taste for that. But then the body has limited capabilities of work. So then when the body has such limitations, but you still have the taste within, how do you understand the amrit in that particular statement?
Yeah. You see, pure devotional service is rendered by the pure spirit soul. Body is the medium in our conditions. Because now in our conditioned state that we have become limited by our body or entrapped by the body, we are rendering devotional service through the body. Because we are identifying ourselves with the body. Therefore, we are rendering devotional service through the body. We are rendering devotional service through our mind, because we are identifying ourselves with the mind. But ultimately, when we become situated in our pure spiritual identity, then we'll be able to execute pure devotional service. But as now we are practicing, since our identity is with the gross and subtle body. We are using it. The gross body and subtle body in serving Krishna. But a time will come when we will transcend the gross and subtle body and then execute pure devotional service in the pure spiritual identity. But then, again, then the body also will become spiritual. A pure devotee's body is also pure, spiritual. Now, in this respect, I was mentioning in the class this morning, like in this respect, Prabhupada gives the example of the iron and fire. Now, when the iron becomes red hot, is it iron or fire? Fire. A pure devotee's body, although it is apparently made of matter, but being in contact with the pure spirit soul, it is spiritualized. It's not matter anymore. It's spirit. Spiritual.
Does that mean that Narasa is now experienced within?
Therefore, you'll come across the devotional service as three stages. This will, later chapters will describe that. That sadhana bhakti, devotional service and practice, bhava bhakti, ecstatic devotional service, spontaneous devotional service, and prema bhakti, loving devotional service. So that loving devotional service is the pure devotional service. Love. You're rendering service to Krishna simply out of your love for Him. So, yes, you had a question.
Can we pray for our parents and relatives' material desire?
Yeah, sure.
That will.
No, it's out of gratitude that they have done so much for you. Like, you see, just as Krishna is grateful, devotee also is grateful. When somebody does something for a devotee feels gratitude. And so the parents, considering, you know, how much your parents have done for you. Yes. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. When he was going back to Vaikuntha, then he asked about his mother, who actually laid him into this path, and he felt, you know, how can he go without his mother, you know, who had done so much for him. And then he was pointed out, his mother was already ahead of him in another chariot here, Vaikuntha plain. So that is how a devotee is. Also, when Hiranyakashipu was killed by Nrisimhadev, Prahlad Maharaj's thing prayer to him was that, although he has been a demon, please be merciful unto him. And Krishna was merciful unto Hiranyakashipu. So yes, and devotee prays for everybody. As the more one advances, the more he prays for others. Like as I was saying, Vasudev Datta, he wanted that everybody should become delivered. Okay, yes.
Pure devotee's body becomes transcendental. How is it understood? Like Rishabdev, when it should pass through, so it's, it used to become fragrance. So, in a sense, how do you make that?
Maybe you become pure and demonstrate it. Actually, we all are here to become purified. And the process will purify us. And we will see how it happens. Rishabdev, he was an incarnation of the Lord. And he was an abadhut. He did not have any external consciousness. But we cannot imitate Rishabdev. Because his mission and our mission are different. Like our mission is to preach. And when you are preaching, say for example, you know, like an abadhut, he doesn't have any external consciousness. He doesn't even wear any clothes. Like Rishabdev used to roam around naked, stark naked. But you know, modern Jains, some of them, they have a cult. They imitate Rishabdev. They move about naked. It's so disgusting. No gentleman will come in front of those people. Therefore, we dress ourselves nicely in order to preach. We are not concerned about our own liberation and our own experiences, our own feelings. We are simply concerned about delivering others. Delivering others means carry the message to others. That is our mission, and that's the mission of nectar of devotion. Distribute. So, I was supposed to cover also the introduction today, preface and introduction, part of the introduction. So tomorrow we'll deal with the entire introduction. Out of that, last 6 pages are very important, which deals with pure devotion. What is pure devotional service? So we'll cover it tomorrow. So thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. কি খবর তোমাদের? কলকাতা থেকে কজন এসছে তুমি?